The Sugi and Shabbos on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. The question here is about Mechaba, Meleches Mechaba, one of the 39 Melechas listed on Daf Ayin Gimel, in which a person extinguishes a light. And what we have here on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis is a distinction, according to Rabbi Yossi, between the following two cases. One case is where he extinguishes the candle because he wants to save the shemen, the oil. He wants to save the ner itself, that's the receptacle that holds the shemen. He wants to use it again in a different place. And that's considered, according to the Gemara, Soser Almanas Livnos Shalo Bimkomo. If, on the other hand, he was Soser Almanas Livnas Bimkomo, then he's Chayef Meleches Soser, he's Mechayef Meleches Mechabe if he intends to rekindle the light in the same place. And Rashi, Dibra Maskel Olam, explains the following. That the issue here is not what we call Melacha She'Netzricha L'Gufa. Meaning, the fact, this is Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Yeah? Do you have the list of Mar Makomas? I gave it out.
And,
yeah. As far as Melacha She'Netzricha L'Gufa is concerned, meaning he's just interested in saving himself a financial loss, he doesn't want to lose the shemen, he doesn't want to lose the ner, and he's not interested in the kibui per se, that would come under a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda regarding Melacha She'Netzricha L'Gufa. Rabbi Shimon indeed holds that Melacha She'Netzricha L'Gufa is potter. The Gemara says that our sugya here, which is a sugya of Rabbi Yossi, is of the opinion that Melacha She'Netzricha L'Gufa is chayav like Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara says that if Rabbi Yossi holds that Melacha She'Netzricha L'Gufa, like Rabbi Yehuda, is chayav, then what should be the issue if he's not interested in the kibui per se? His interest is only in saving the oil, etc. So the Gemara says that the issue is soser. It's a whole nother issue. And Rashi, Dibra Maskeli Olam, says the following. Demishum ein tzricha l'gufa lo miftar. The fact that he doesn't need the kibui per se, he doesn't need the extinguishing of the candle, of the light, he's only interested in saving the oil, that per se, his tzorech, or lack thereof, shall we say, is not a reason to exempt him. Why hol butzricha l'davar acher? Since he needs it for some purpose, in this case to save the oil, to save the receptacle, the ner, then it becomes a meleches machsheves. Now please note that Rashi is explicit that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Meleches Machsheves Osra Torah, Rabbi Yehuda says that Yechayev for Melacha She'Netzricha L'Gufa holds that you require, it's a precondition in Melech Shabbos that it be Meleches Machsheves, but nevertheless, since he's Tzorech, he has a Tzricha, even though, albeit it's L'Dover Acher, but that itself is a Meleches Machsheves. Okay, we'll come back to this point later. That has to be clarified. So then what's the issue now of Rabbi Yossi when a person extinguishes a light because he's not interested in the kibui per se, he just wants to salvage the ner and the shemen? Rashi says it's a whole different issue. Again, there's no lack of meleches machsheves from the perspective of a melacha She'Netzricha L'Gufa because Rabbi Yehuda holds as long as there's some tzorech, then it is a maleches machsheves. So even ain't a tzricha legufa, he doesn't need it for this purpose, but he needs it for another purpose. That's enough to generate a chiyuv. The problem here is a different problem, says Rashi. V'chi mechabala mishum chaisa de shemen v'ner. He's chas, meaning he wants to salvage the shemen and the ner. Hainu time of the pot, the reason why he's pot according to Rabbi Yossi is kasaver, because Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that soser almanas livnos bimakomo, that when is it considered a creative stira? In other words, even though soser in and of itself, if you isolate it, is a destructive act, but it's considered constructive because of the following two conditions. Number one, it's an almanas livnos. He's only taking away this dilapidated house because he wants to build a better house in its place. And number two, it's bimkomo. On that very spot, it's almanas livnos. If there's an almanas livnos bimkomo, then there's some sort of linkage, a tziruf, to the stira. And the binyan that's going to replace this stira in exactly its place makes the stira just a precondition. It's a preliminary step in binyan, and that converts, that transforms maleches soser into a creative act. But if it would be soser almanas livnos b'makom acher, which means that the binyan that he's going to do is not a replacement of this old binyan which he's destroying, then this binyan which he's destroying is considered mekalkel. And here's the key point in Rashi for our purposes. Again, if we were studying the sugya as a separate topic, in and of itself, we would have to really embellish this sugya. There's a lot of details here, but we're interested, this is the punchline, the next line in Rashi. Rashi says, "Kol amakalkel de Shabbos havi potter." Anytime that you do a destructive act on Shabbos, you're potter. Delav hainu meleches machsheves. That this does not constitute meleches machsheves. Now keep in mind, Rabosai, up until this point, what we know is that a melacha sheina tzricha legufa, according to Rav Shimon, is a chisaron, is an incomplete melacha because of the absence of meleches machsheves. That we saw already 2 days ago, if you recall. Now Rashi's adding something else to the list. He's saying, what else is a deficiency, is lacking in the condition of meleches machsheves? Mekalkel. So we have now, according to Rashi, if we take the Rashi of Rav Shimon together with this Rashi of Rav Yossi, we have now two subcategories of a chisaron b'meleches machsheves. So our heading here is chisaron b'meleches machsheves, meaning we lack in the fulfillment of that condition called meleches machsheves. And the first subcategory is Rabbi Shimon's Dovar She'eino Melacha She'eino Tzricha Legufa. And now we have a second subcategory, and that's going to be Mekalkel, which is also, Rashi says, to be identified as a p'tur of Meleches Machsheves. So then, when are you chayef v'soser? Rashi says, v'soser disnan, b'yobas malachas, is one of the cases of the 39 malachas, the mechayef that you chayef for. And the answer is that according to this sheet of Rabbi Yossi, that's only soser almanas livnos bimkomo. Soser almanas livnos who? Here, he wants to rebuild it. V'eino yochel livnos elim kein sosro. So he has to destroy. In other words, this is the plot of land that he has. You know, he owns a gush and a chelka, you know, in a certain specific place. He has to get rid of the present structure in order to improve and build a second structure to replace it. So that's called sos almanas livnos. And if he's going to build a structure to replace the old structure, which is called bimkomo, then it's considered not kilkul, but a meleches machsheves. For Rabbi Yossi Savar, the imbim komo chozer ubone, who the Mechayev Astir, when does the Mishnah, this is Rabbi Yossi's interpretation, include Soser as a Moloch which generates a Chiyuv? That's only if it's going to be Almanas Livnos Bimkomo Choser Ubomo, Bimkomo Choser Ubomo. Who the Machayev Astira? V'im lo, but if he's not going to rebuild it in its place, lo, he's not Chayev. Then it becomes Sose Shalom Manas Livnos, which means it is a Makalkil situation. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. In other words, when do we see that his original Stira is creative? That's only if it's Almanas Livnos Bimkom. Now Rashi goes on to say that this concept of Meleches Soser, which in and of itself, unless you fulfill certain conditions and you make it into a creative, is always going to be destructive. It's not limited just to Meleches Soser. Meleches Soser becomes like a, in a sense, an archetype, a catchphrase for a number of Meleches. We'll call them all Meleches Stira. They're all destructive. For example, Rashi says, Mechabe Dumya de Soserhu. Mechabe is also destructive. I had a light, and now I remove that light. V'chein korea, also if I had tefiros, I had stitches, and now I rip those stitches, is also, they're all dumya de soser. And in all cases, we have to add a condition in order to be machayev you, that these malachos were done for the purpose, as a preliminary, for the purpose of doing something creative. So that if I want to replace this nair in the future, I put it out now so that I can replace it in the future. If I have to rip certain stitches so I can restitch it, that's called Koreal Manas Litvar. Rashi adds a fourth malacha, V'chein Mochek, erasing. Also, the Mishnah adds the condition that it has to be Almanas Lichtov. So I'm erasing in order to free up the space below, beneath these letters, in order to write a more perfect writing or different letters. So then let's just count the malachas. I think the number is four. Am I right? Let's see. Soser, Mechabe, Korea, and Mochek. So I think there are four right now. I don't know. There may be others. But Rashi mentions four. And all of them have the same exact condition. It has to be converted into a Meleches Machsheves as opposed to a Meleches Kilkul. In and of itself, the malachas are Meleches Kilkul unless you can fulfill certain conditions. And just like in Soser, the condition that has to be fulfilled is that you're replacing this binyan, this dilapidated house, let's say, I'm just dramatizing it, with a structure, new structure, so too, and it has to be bimkomo, that's the replacement of the first structure, that makes the destruction of the first structure into a preliminary, an introduction to the Meleches Boneh. If Meleches Soser becomes an introduction to Boneh, then it becomes a Meleches Machsheves and it's not a Mekalkel. So too in the case of Mechabe, I have to put out this light in order to rekindle it in its place, Bimkomo. And that's why Rabbi Yossi says that Kechos al Ner, Kechos al Shem, he's not interested in replacing it in its Makom, and therefore becomes a Meleches Kilkel. Fine. But what's the bottom line here? What I want to get from this Rashi is that Rashi has now expanded our definition of Meleches Machsheves. Until now, we saw that Meleches Machsheves is only a patur as far as Tzorech. If you remember, Rashi's language was that what was his kavana? His kavana was not for this malacha, and therefore, even though he might have other needs, it becomes, according to Reb Shimon, a malacha shein tzricha legufa, and it's a chisar de meleches machsheva. So the individual, or I call it subjective kavana of the person, that's what determines that it's not a meleches machsheva. He doesn't have in his mind the right purpose in mind. He doesn't need the hole in the ground in order to structure a pillar in the ground. That's not for Meleches Boneh. He needs the dirt that he's removing from the hole. And that, according to Reb Shimon, even though he needs it, that makes it into a chisaron in Meleches Machsheves, because Meleches Machsheves, Rashi learns that the word machshava here means kavana for a specific malacha. And if he doesn't have kavana for that specific malacha, that's not called a Meleches Machsheves. That's a shita of whom? Of Rabbi Shimon. However, Rashi here on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis is expanding the definition of Meleches Machsheves, and now he's saying that Meleches Machsheves means a significant act How do I define that significance? What makes it into a malacha chashuva? The fact that it's constructive and not destructive. If it's mekalkel, that's not considered a malacha chashuva. And that's objective. So that now we could say that Rashi has two different definitions of maleches machsheves. The word machsheves really means two different things, according to Rashi. And both are correct. Maleches machsheves means it has to be with a chashiva, with a machshava and a kavana for the malacha. And number two, it has to be a malacha that I can define as a creative malach as opposed to a destructive malach, and therefore Makalkel is also chisaron in Meleches Machsheves. just give me a few minutes, okay, if you don't mind, Alan, so I can get my head wrapped around this. The word Machshava now means two things, and there are two different reasons why we would exempt you from Meleches Shabbos, even though you're doing the malacha, because of the deficiency of Machsheves. One meaning of machsheves I call subjective. He doesn't need the hole in the ground for binyan purposes. Or he doesn't need to take something out of Rishus HaYochid and place it down in a specific location in Rishus HaRabim, which would make it the tzorech of Meleches Hotzah. He needs it outside of his house for whatever reason. Or he needs to dig this hole for whatever reason, but not for the reason of Meleches Binyan. Rav Shimon insists that that's not called machsheves. Machsheva means you have machsheva for that specific malacha. Now Rashi is saying that the word machsheves means what? Chashuva. Machsheves means some chashivas to it. And in the case of mekalkel, it's lacking in chashivas. And therefore you part to me din meleches machsheves. All this is true according to Rav Shimon, because Rav Shimon now has two categories of Meleches Machsheves. He's got the individual, or what I call subjective element, of why he wants this pu'ula to be done. Is he doing it for the malacha, or for some extraneous purpose? And now Rashi is adding that even according to Rav Yehuda, who rejects that definition, and he maintains that malacha she'netzricha l'gufa is chayav, he would still agree that there is such a concept called Meleches Machsheves, a precondition. And therefore, what's going to be potter now, even according to Rabbi Yehuda? Mekalkel. Why is Mekalkel potter? Because it's not Meleches Machsheves. Again, you and I might have said, if not Rashi, we'll find a different reason why Rabbi Yehuda would agree that Mekalkel is potter. I don't know what that reason would be, but maybe we can come up with one. But Rashi is explicit in that Mekalkel is potter because of the chisaron of Meleches Machsheves. So whereas Rabbi Yehuda does not accept Rabbi Shimon's Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, but he does accept Mekalkel. Now, Rashi also indicates to us that in the case of a Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, Rabbi Yehuda insists that he does have a tzorech. What does he gain by digging this hole? What does he obtain as a result of it?
Offer.
The offer. Right? He needs the offer. Excellent. That makes it into malacha tzricha l'guf. Meaning, the malacha doesn't generate a specific tzorech. There's got to be a tzorech. If it's not a tzorech, then it's mekalkel. But if there is a tzorech, I don't care what that tzorech is. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. The machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is if I define Meleches Machsheves as his machshava, then what if his machshava is not for the malacha itself, but for some sort of side benefit that he gets from the malacha? So Rabbi Shimon says that's not Meleches Machsheves. Meleches Machsheves means the machsheves of this malacha. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda has a broader definition of the machshava, and he says, no, as long as he has a machshava and he gains something, he has a goal in mind, that's called Meleches Machsheves. So it comes out that Mekalkel, Rashi says, is certainly a ptur of Meleches Machsheves. It's not a melacha chashuva. And that's true even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who has a much more limited definition of Meleches Machsheves. Rabbi Yehuda is not willing to say that if your subjective goal is different than the malach itself, it's some sort of byproduct of the malach, shall we call it, that makes it a chisaron of maleches machsheves? No, it is maleches machsheves. But Rabbi Yehuda would certainly agree, says Rashi, that a makalkel is not a maleches machsheves. That's what we have. That's what we have so far. Good? Alan, you wanted to say something, or you'll let me go?
I'll let you go quickly, though. Why? Since it's so tied, since the kilkel or the stira, so to speak, is so tightly tied to the binyan. Why is that the stira not considered the beginning of binyan?
I would say that's what we're saying now. If you hold that you need binyan b'mkomo, it means the stira is a preliminary binyan.
Yeah, but I mean,
they're two sides of the same coin.
Are you over on two?
Yes. It's listed as two separate, okay, as two separate malachs, right? Okay, now Rabosai, we want to fast forward to Daf Ayin Dalid Amud Beis, and this I think will add another dimension to our understanding of Maleches Machsheves. The Gemara says that the halacha of Tofer, which the Mishnah establishes in its list of malachos, is Tofer Shtei Tefiros. And the Gemara adds another condition. This is the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says the following: V'holo Kaima. Now, literally, if we translate the Gemara is saying that if you weave or stitch a beged, then it's going to last. But if you just put two stitches together, that's not going to last. Okay, so it won't last. So what? So we're going to see Rashi in just a minute. But first, Amar Rabba Bar Bachan Amar Rav Yochanan V'hu Shekoshron. It's not enough to stitch two stitches. You have to tie them together. Rashi says the following: V'holo kaima hoch. In its state, without the kesher, it will not remain. I would say it will not be long lasting. It's almost like temporary. Says Rashi, V'kevon delo kaima lav malach. It's not a malach. Now, the source for this Rashi is a Mishnah later on that says that a malach has to be a malach ha-miskayemis. In other words, in and of itself, if not disturbed, the malach will last continuously. What is the Mishnah talking about over there? The Mishnah is talking about a binyan that you build, but it's not going to last, it's going to fall apart. You didn't structure it in a way that it shall kayoma. And the Mishnah says, "Kol malacha sheinu miskayemes pot." Now, I'm thinking out loud that perhaps this might be another case of a chisaron of maleches machsheves. Because what did we say after we saw the sugya on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, the expanded definition of maleches machsheves? Mekalkel is a chisaron. Does everybody know when I say chisaron what I mean? Okay, because otherwise I have to translate every single time I say it, right? That mekalkel is a chisaron of maleches machsheves. Why? Because we need a malacha chashuva. If we need a malacha chashuva, then if the malach is only temporary, it's going to fall apart, you could hardly call that a malacha chashuva. But I still don't have a proof, because Rashi, if you notice, does not explicitly say maleches machsheves. The Rambam certainly paskins like this sugya about maleches tofer, and that you'll see in Hilchas Shabbos Perek Yud Halacha Tes. And the Rambam writes, HaTofer Shtei Tefiros Chayov. Did I say Halacha Yud? I meant to say Halacha Tes. Anyway, Perek Yud Halacha Tes. HaTofer Shtei Tefiros Chayov, says the Rambam, V'hu Shekoshar Roshe HaChut. The ends of the chut were tied together, mikan u mikan, on both ends, kidei shetamod hatfira velo tishamet, so that the tefillah will last and it won't fall apart. Very good. So the Rambam certainly paskined our Gemara. But does that mean that the Rambam holds it without the kshira, it's not a meleches machsheves? Well, here I want to show you something fascinating. This is a taz in Hilchas Klai Begod. The Mechaber paskins in Yoredeya Simon Shin, where the halachas of Klayim are brought down, that if you take stitches that are made of both Semer Upishton, then you have violated the Iser of Kilayim. And the Mechaber adds a condition. He says the following. He says, Beged Semer Shechibro in Beged Pishton Betchifa Achas Eino Chibur V'Einze Kilayim Kavatz Shnei Roshi Achut Kiechad. If he adds some sort of a knot on both sides, ki echad, o tochav shtei tchifos, harezu kilayim. And the Ramah adds, v'yesh orim, the law of kilayim ele b'shtei tchifos, v'koshar shnei roshei hachut. And this the Ramah quotes in the name of the tour, in the name of the Rosh. So it comes out the following, that according to the Mechaber, the halach of Big Day of creating Beged Kilayim would apply as long as he is Mekabet Shnei Rosh Yachut Ki Echad. In other words, he makes a tie at the end, the Rosh Achut. And the Ramah is saying that that's not enough. That you need a Kesher B'Shnei Rosh Achut. In other words, the Ramah is basically reiterating what we saw in the Rambam. Because the Rambam says you need a Kesher B'Shnei Rosh Achut. It's just that one thing. The Rambam is in Hilchus Shabbos. The Ramah is in Hilchus Klai B'Godin. And the Taz wants to know, why is it that the Mechaber rejects the comment of the Ramah? And this is a fascinating Taz. The Taz says, Tochav shtei tchifos, Zudas haramba. The Mechaber here is quoting the Rambam in Hilchus Klai. Then the Taz says, V'afal gav debehilchus Shabbos. Perek Yud. That's the Rambam that we saw before. Kosav, the Rambam himself writes, Hatofer shtei tefiros chay v'hushi yiksha roshi achut u'mikan kidei shetamod hatefiro v'lo tishomet. How could the Mechaber in Hilchus Big Day, in Hilchus Klai B'Godin, based on the Rambam in Hilchus Kilayim, suggests that you don't need this requirement of Shtei Ksharim B'Shnei Rosh Yachut and Yechayef Kilayim even without these two knots, when the Rambam himself in Hilchus Shabbos Perek Tes, Perek Yud, requires as a precondition for violating Hilchus Shabbos that you tie both ends. In other words, if this is a tefirah, as far as kilay begodim, even without the kesher on both ends, then it should be tefirah. As far as meleches tofrin, should be chayv on Shabbos. If on the other hand, the Rambam requires the condition in tefirah, then he's only chayv if he's kosher b'shnei roshi achutim. Otherwise, it doesn't constitute tefirah. Then why should he be chayv for a tefirah of tzeru pishton in big day kilayim? Says the Taz. Shiny chibur de kilayim. In other words, in kilayim, all you need is chibur. That's your only requirement. De chashiv chibur afilu bekaldu. Even if you didn't make these ksharim on both ends, why? Because all the Torah says with regard to pishtan, with regard to tzemer and pishtan, is yachtov. Yachtov means to create a chibur. So if there's a chibur on one side, that's enough. You don't have to have a chibur on both ends. Now I'm fast forwarding. Masha'en came with Inyan Kshira de Shabbos, but as far as Hilchus Shabbos is concerned, There is another requirement. It's not enough to tell me that there's a chibur, but in Shabbos tzorech shiyei davar kayam, we need something that will last for a long period of time. Why? Why is there another additional condition to Meleches Tofer and Shabbos that doesn't exist as far as creating a tefira of Big Day Kilayim? The answer is the Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. So the Taz now goes on record as adding a third category, or a third ptur, if you will, that exempts him on Shabbos because of the halacha of Meleches Machsheves. Until now we had the following two categories. We had Rabbi Shimon in Dovr Sheino, in Melacha Sheino Tzricha Lugufa. We had Rashi, who says that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Mekalkel is a chisaron of Meleches Machsheves. And now we have the Taz, who's saying that what we saw in the sugya on Daf Ayidalad Amid Beis, that in Meleches Tofer you need Kshira B'Shnei Roshim, the absence of that Kshira B'Shnei Roshim, which makes it into Dover She'eno Miskayim, is also a Ptur in Shabbos because of the Chisar of Meleches Machsheves. So we have now a third category of Meleches Machsheves. But Rabosai, it seems to me that this addition of the Taz is not a third category, but I think we could subsume it under one of our two categories. We had two categories of Meleches Machsheves. We had one that's objective, as opposed to Mekalkel, and then we had the one that's subjective in Rav Shimon's frame of reference of Melach Shein Tzrich L'Guf, because his Kavana, his Machsheva, is not for that Melach. Where would you fit Dovra Miskayim? Exactly, it would be similar to Mekalkel. Again, it's not a Melach Chashuva. What kind of Chashivas do you have if it's not going to last? This precondition of having to last makes it into a Melacha Chashuva. And it's in its absence, it's not a Melacha Chashuva. So again, I'm very excited about this Taz, because he says what I would have liked to have said. Rashi doesn't spell it out exactly. Rashi says this is not a Melacha because it's not a Melacha Chashuva. Again, Rashi doesn't spell that out. I need the Taz for that. And now, Rabosai, we have what I call, I always like to see in a specific sugya a general structure that could give us a key to understand all of Shas. What we're seeing now clearly from this Taz is something that's called Din Mesuyam or Din Kloli, which is one of the great Maftechas of Shas. In my 9 o'clock, which now has become 9:45 to 10, Shir on Derech HaLimud, we haven't yet gotten to this concept. This would be a great, I think, segue into the concept of Din Mesuyam and Din Kloli. We have an example of Din Mesuyam here in Shabbos, that although in Kol HaTorah Kula, Tefira would be, even without the requirement of two Ksharim, Barashi HaTefira would still constitute and comprise a Meleches Tefira. But nevertheless, in Shabbos, there's a unique halacha of Meleches Machsheves. And therefore, without making it into a Tefira Shel Kayama, you're not Chayev. And this leads me to a Sugya Masechta Beitza. And this is on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Okay then? So, I don't know if you have a photocopy, if you were able to copy this Gemara Masechta Beitza, or you weren't, but the sugi here on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis in Beitza is addressing the concept in Masros of what's called Gmar Melach. And what does that mean? That when is the produce Tevel, when is it Chayev in Hafrosh's Maser? That's only after he completes the production. When the production is complete, you know, he's at the end of the line and he's got something significant, that's called Gmar Malach, and then he's Chayev in Maser. And there's something called a Meleches Aroi. What's a Meleches Aroi? It means that he's still in a situation where he's not ready, you know, to sit down and take his produce and eat you know, a full meal. He's not ready to be kovei suda. He's just what we call in Yiddish hopping around. You know, he's hopping around a little here, a little there. You know, the Israelis call it chatif. No, don't they have those things like the what do they call that stuff from peanut butter? Bamba, right? They call it a chatif or something like that. Yeah. So bamba, you should know. I really wanted to give out bamba to the children here in our shul because bamba is not so bad, actually. I mean, again, you know, if you're allergic to peanut oil, it's very bad, but assuming you're not allergic, you know. So what would be if I created out of my produce something called a chatif? That would be called an achilas haroi. And in the case of achilas haroi, I'm not chayv in maser. So, for example, if you want, again, I'm not chashov advocating this, but if you wanted to, you know, cheat the levy or the oni and just circumvent the laws of haroi, excuse me, of maser, the thief maser, all you have to do is continuously eat these chatifim, you know, and you know, just grab a little of the produce and pop it into your mouth. So this sugya here, Masechta Beitza, is going to do what I call a comparative analysis. How do we compare the laws of Gemar Malacha in Maser to the laws of Gemar Malacha in Melechah Shabbos? Are they identical? Are they a mirror image or Yesh Lechalik? Can we distinguish? So take a look at the Gemara. It's about halfway down the Amud. It says the following. Tnan Hosam. We have a Mishnah in the fourth Perek of Masros. And the Mishnah here is broken down to a Reisha and a Seifa. In the Reisha, we're talking about what's called Kiluf, Hamakalef Siorim, so the kernels of barley are covered by some sort of a husk, and he wants to peel the husk off. And he doesn't want to be Chayev in Maser, or is he Chayev in Maser? Let's put it that way. So the Mishnah says, Makalef achas achas viochel. He can take each individual kernel of barley, remove the chaff, and pop it into his mouth. It's not tevel, and there's no chiyuv maser. And Rashi explains because that's considered an achilas aroi. Rashi says, viochel. Rashi says he's eating raw barley. Okay, fine. He's potem in a maser, dechi hai gavna achilas aroihi. That's not called the Gemar Malacha because it's an achilas aroihi. You see such a Rashi?
No.
No, the ochel, it's.
No.
What do you say? Oh, I thought you were talking to me. Okay. So, ki hai gavna achilas aroihi, ubishalonis marchu koi. So, Rashi has a different kasha here. That there's something called Meruach. Meruach is also considered a Gemar Malacha and has its parallel in Shabbos that's called Meleches Zoreh with a hay at the end. But anyway, here he's not doing Meleches Meruach, and instead he wants to just pop these kernels of barley into his mouth and eat it as a kind of a Achilas Haroi. And Rashi says he's allowed to do so because he's Potem in a Maser. Because Achilas Haroi does not generate a chiyuv maser, but im kolef, the Mishnah says, v'nasan l'tof yado. So he strips each kernel of barley of its husk. I think it's called an ear in English. I don't know. Anyway, and he collects these kernels of barley into a cup, for example, or into his hand. So he has now a significant amount of barley in his hand, and now he wants to eat it from his hand. Chayav. Because since he's collected an amount of volume of barley, Rashi says, Havile Keva. That's already considered as if he finished the Malacha. And then Omar Abelazar, has a comment on this Mishnah, V'chein L'Shabbos. Rashi identifies the Malacha here as Malachas Mefarek, which is listed in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel, as one of the 39. And it's a told of Dash. No, I'm sorry. My mistake. Mefarek is a tolda. Dash is an av. And mefarek means when I break something into half, separating the chaff from the part that's roi l'achila, that's called mefarek, and that's a tolda of dash. And Rashi says that in this case, if he does it one kernel at a time, he's potur for meleches mefarik. Why is he potur? Rashi says the dash kilachar yadhu. Now this is not normally when you do meleches disha, you do it over a significant amount of food or produce. Here he's doing it one at a time, and therefore he's potur in Shabbos. Aval mishekovtzan biyado. Havi told us disha v'chayev. But if he gathers them together, that's the normal way of doing it, and therefore he is chayev. So basically, what Rabbi Elazar is teaching us is that there's an absolute parallel between gemar malacha of kiluv siorim with regard to the chiyuv maser and the gemar malacha meleches dash in the case of chiyuv Shabbos. We're going to soon see that the Gemara is going to reject this and have to reinterpret Rabbi Elazar. Any could it be that this is so, that if he strips the one kernel at a time and then gathers them together in his hand, that he's over, he violates meleches dash, told us dash. And the Gemara tells two stories, two identical stories. One is about Rav, and the other is about Rav Chia. Actually, it's about their wives. Rav, Makalfale, the Beso, Kase Kase, his wife, the Beso, would strip the kernels of barley from the chaff and gather them together in cups. You know, would offer Rav, here's a cupful of kernels of barley. And Rabbi Chia, Makalfale de Besa, his wife also did the same thing, kase kase. And for the fact that it's kase kase, it filled up these cups, it means that there was no violation of Shabbos. And at this point, the Gemara pulls back and seems to assume that in the case of Shabbos, kase kase would not generate a chiyuv. Meaning, the sefer, the brisa of the Mishnah in Masros, the sefer, the reisha. I mean, we're going to get to the sefer of the Mishnah, but the sefer of the reisha, which means in kolaf and nusin l'tof yado, he gathered them together. Although he's chayev for gemar malacha in maaser, but he's not chayev for meleches dash in Shabbos, because otherwise, how did Rav Chia allow this? How did Rav allow this to go on? Again, the Gemara is not analyzing why we should separate or differentiate between maaser and Shabbos. Eli itmar, but now the Gemara wants to make some sense out of Rabbi Eliezer. Because Rabbi Elazar was the one who said v'cheilin in Shabbos, that he would be chayav in Shabbos. Asefa itmar. Let's look at the second part of that Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, ha-molel melilos shalchitim. We're no longer talking about barley here. In the Sefer, we're talking about wheat. And now, what happens is, when he gathers together these kernels of wheat, and they have husks or ears on top of them, and he has to separate them from the other, that's called borer in Hilchos Shabbos, is menapeach al yad v'ochel. In other words, he blows each individual chita, and then he eats it. And that's okay as far as maser is concerned, because that's not called the gmar molocha. But im nipach v'nosan l'tocheko, if he blows the chaff away and then he gathers them together in his chest and then he wants to eat them, chayav. On that, Amar Rabbi Elazar, v'chein l'Shabbos. So too, he would be chayav in Shabbos if he blows away the chaff. And I would suggest that maybe the malacha here is malacha's zora, or maybe malacha's borer, I don't know. In any event, he's chayav if he does it L'tocheko. Maskifla Rabbi Abba Bar Mamol, v'reisha l'maser in v'l'shabbos lo. We've just established, based on the two stories, that we have to differentiate between maser and Shabbos, that in the case of Kolev Sa'orin, if he does it b'toch yado or b'toch kos, then he's considered chayav maser, it's a gemar malach, but in Shabbos you're allowed to do it. Umika midi delinian Shabbos lo havi gemar malacha l'maser havi gemar malacha. Why would you accept this distinction, you must be mistaken over here, says the Gemara, says Rabbi Abba, because if it's Gemara Malach as far as Maser is concerned, it should also be Gemara Malach as far as Shabbos is concerned. So now you have an attack of Rabbi Abba, and now the Gemara is going to bring Rav Sheshis' attack against the attack of Rabbi Abba. Maskif lo Rav Sheshis berei de Rav Idi velo. Are you going to tell me that there's no distinction between Gemara Malacha in Maser and Gemara Malacha on Shabbos? That's not true.
Rabbi, do you mind closing the door? I just push a can.
So the Gemara proves this from a case of Ma'amer. What's the case of Ma'amer? Disnan, we have another Mishnah in Masechta Masrus. This is in the first parak of Masrus. Eza hu goran lemaser akshuim vatluim mishe yifkisu, or if lo paksu mishe yamod ba'arema. So, at what point in this case of vegetables like kishuim, I think, are cucumbers, or what are tluim, or gourds, I think you say in English, I don't know, pumpkins, that in these cases, that if you didn't remove the blossoms, then, which is called sheyifkisu, but what you did was you piled them up in a pile, then you're chayiv in maser, same thing applies to onions, that if you didn't remove the outside kernel of the onion, mishayamid be'arema, as soon as you pile up the bitzolim, you gather them together in a whole bundle, is then yechayev in maser, meaning that gathering together in a bundle is considered gmar molocha lemaser. Ve'ilu gabi Shabbos, ha'amodas aroma potur. If you just gather together vegetables into a pile, that's not called Meleches Ma'amer. And you're not Chayev, because Meleches Ma'amer requires some sort of a bundling in a way that it's, you know, like in haystacks where you, what do they call that thing? The bundling the haystacks. So you already see that it's undeniable there's a distinction here between Gemar Malach as a definition in Maser and Gemar Malach as a definition in Hilchas Shabbos. And in the case of gathering together the vegetables without a bundling, you know, which is a little bit hard to do, then you're potter, even though it is gemar malach and maser. El ma'isla lemeimar. This is the punchline of the sugya here. Meleches machsheves asra Torah. That in the case of ma'amer, you need a meleches machsheves, and gathering together is not called a meleches machsheves. And that requirement only exists where? In Shabbos, but not in Maser. It's Hachinami, so too, when we get back to the case of Kiluf, which was the Reisha, and we said that if you strip it by hand, you know, and even if you gather together an entire group of many kernels of barley in your hand, nevertheless, although that would constitute a Gemar Malach LeMaser, but the wives of the various Gedolim did it on Shabbos, it means it's not a Meleches Shabbos. Why? Because it's a Chisaron of Meleches Machsheves. So I was wondering, we have so far two categories of Meleches Machsheves. Number one, we had the category of his intention, right? The subjective element of his Machshava, and that was the Ptur in Rabbi Shimon's frame of reference of Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, where he doesn't need the malacha. And we had the case of Mekalkel, which we said was a lack of chashivus. We added malacha sheinam is kayemes in the case of Roshei HaTfiros. And there also, it's a chisar na malach smachsheves, says the Taz, because it's not a malacha chashuva. If it's not going to last, it's going to fall apart. What about this case? Are we meant to say that, you know, after he gathers together these kishuim, dluyim, and bitzolim, they're going to fall apart? They're going to, you know, it's going to just spread in all directions? And what would be if he put it into a basket? I mean, then he would be chayev? I don't know. So what's going on here? So at this point, I'd like to look at Rashi. Rashi says, it's three lines up from the bottom of the page, Elamai Israel Lemeir, Afal Gavdil Lemeiser Havi Molocha, L'Shabbos, as far as Shabbos, it's not enough. Why? Meleches Machsheves, says Rashi, what does that mean? Shehi Meleches Umnus. It's got to be something professional. Asra Torah. Now, this, I believe, is a third category of Meleches Machsheves. That if you do a Melecha that just requires, you know, putting things together, but there's no Umnus, there's no professional element here. You know, you when you bundle hay, you know, I don't know how to bundle hay, but you learn how to do that. And if you're a tofer and you want to make ksharim at the end of the tefiros, maybe you need a meleches uman for that. But it's a new category of meleches machsheves. And Rashi therefore has to ask himself the question, well, how do I know this? What is the source for meleches machsheves, and specifically with regard to a ma'amer that's lacking, or a kiluf siorim that's lacking the element of meleches machsheves of umnus? It's not a meleches umnus. So Rashi says, shenismucha parsha Shabbos meleches hamishkan bivayakel. Right, you remember that we learned Parshas Vayakel, and we saw the Vayakel opens up with Shabbos, and then it continues with Meleches HaMishkan. Says Rashi, V'hasam Meleches Machsheves Ksiv. Now, the Smichos HaParshios between Shabbos and Mishkan might be relevant to another discussion whatsoever, because in Rashi's Perish Al Torah, there Vayakel, he says to teach us that Meleches HaMishkan doesn't override the Shabbos. And in fact, the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Mem Tesam in Bay's offers two answers to the question, how do we know that there are 39 Meleches on Shabbos? There was Rav Chanina, and he was of the opinion that we derive that from Meleches HaMishkan, and then it was Rabbi Yonasan, if I remember correctly, who said that no, we derive from the fact that the word Malach appears 39 times in the Torah. But Rashi here, which doesn't surprise me, because the Gemara itself really seems to assume that we have to derive it from Mishkan, and therefore the whole concept of Meleches Machsheves is derived from the equation, or the Smichos HaParshios between Shabbos and Mishkan. So Rashi says that Smichos HaParshios gives us, or generates this concept of Meleches Machsheves, and that requires a Meleches Umnus. And what time is it, by the way? I don't have a watch today.
7 after,
so I have a few more minutes. So if you take a look in the Targum Unkelus here, this is very fascinating. In Parshas Vayakel, this is Shmos, Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, it says there, Kol Meleches Machsheves, says Targum Unkelus, Bechol Avidas Umanun. Umanun is the Aramaic of Umnus, because there's a very similar, a great similarity between the Targum of Aramis and Lashon Kodesh. So it's almost the same identical word here. And it would seem that the Meleches Machsheves that the Chachmei Lev were involved in constructing the Mishkan was called the Meleches Umnun. That's what the word Machsheves means. So we now have a source, perhaps, in the Torah itself for requiring a Meleches Umnus. And that means that in the absence of a Meleches Umnus, like for example when you just gather together the fruits and you don't add anything in order to be ma'amer to bundle them, that's not called Meleches Machsheves, because that doesn't require an Uman. You don't have to learn, you don't have to go to school to be an Uman. If this be the case, Rabosa, we now have three categories of Meleches Machsheves. We have Meleches Machsheves of Reb Shimon, Malachshen Tzuchel Gufa, that means the Chashiva, the Machshava that you put in for this Malach. Number two, we have a destructive Malach, which is not Choshen because it's not constructive, it's rather Makalkil. And now we have the case, a whole new requirement that's got to be Meleches Umnus. And if it's not Meleches Umnus, it's not Meleches Machshevas. And that's what the Taz says, that in the case of Dover Shein Meskayim, that's also not a Malacha Chashuva. So we have on the Malacha Shein Chashuva Mekalkel and Malacha Shein Meskayemis. I mean, one could ostensibly argue that even if it's not a Malacha Zumnus, that too, it to some extent, is a Chisaron in Chashivus. You know, what gives the Chashivus? It's the Umnus. So if you want to reduce it to two categories, you could say the second category of chashivus generates three requirements. What makes it chashuv? Number one, in order to be chashivus, it has to be constructive and not destructive. Number two, in order to be chashivus, it has to last. And number three, it has to be something professional that I can't just, you know, hop-lop, grab it together and throw it into a ball, throw it into a basket. But Rabosai, I really honestly believe that within the context of this last category specifically, namely Meleches Umnus, you have to accept Rav Chanina, because the source for Meleches Umnus as a precondition in Shabbos is the equation, as Rashi points out, to Meleches Machshevas in Mishkan. If you don't accept an equation here between Mishkan and Melacha, then I don't even believe that you could imagine that you require Meleches Umnus in Shabbos. But again, that's what we have here. Now, the next Gemara that we want to point out here, which, how long? We have about 5 minutes to Mincha. So I'll just give you a little bit of an overview here. And I don't know when we're going to get to this. Maybe Sunday, maybe a different day, because I have something else prepared for Sunday. But there's a fascinating Tosfos here at the beginning of Masechet Bava Kamma. And Tosfos wants to know what constitutes an Av Malacha. And Tosfos actually has two possibilities. It depends on the Girsa in the Gemara. One Girsa says, Hach Tahavi Mishkan Kori Le Av. The other Girsa says, Hach Tahavi Chashiva Kori Le Av. So I saw in the, what's it called, the Otzer Mefarshei Talmud, I don't know if you're familiar with that, there's a publication house called Moria, and they collect all sorts of, an anthology of all sorts of Mefarshim. So they have on Bava Kamma a Otzer Mefarshei Talmud, and they write that if you have the Girsa Hach Tahavi Chashiva, then a malacha which has chashivas, even if it wasn't done in the Mishkan, is considered an av. But if you have the girsa of hachtahavi b'mishkan is kari le'av, then it has to be in the Mishkan. In other words, in order to create 39 av malachos, do I have to have a condition that was in the Mishkan, or it's enough that it has chashivas? So imagine if you can come up with a creative act, I mean, certainly in our modern technology, and that wasn't done in the Mishkan. So the Otzer Mefarshei Talmud quotes the Totzos Chaim, I think that was from Menachem Zember, if I'm not mistaken, he was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemo. And he writes that there are two days in this Tosfos here, it's the bottom Tosfos on Beis Amud Aleph in Bava Kamma, as to what would be the status of a Malacha Chashuva which was not done in the Mishkan. And in Tosfos, it really depends upon two Girsos in the Gemara. And Lechora, I would say that Machlokes depends upon the Machlokes about Meleches Machsheves. What I mean to say is that if Meleches Machsheves is predicated on the equation between Mishkan and Shabbos, then if it wasn't in the Mishkan, then it's not a Meleches Machsheves, because Meleches Machsheves as a requirement in Shabbos is derived from Mishkan. And if you have a malacha, with all due respect to its chashivus, you know, maybe it could, I don't know what it could do, but nevertheless, it's not in Mishkan. And the source for malacha is the Mishkan. In fact, the source for malacha is Machsheves, Rashi says, is Mishkan. If, on the other hand, I want to suggest that it says Malacha in the Torah 39 times, and the source therefore for 39 Malachas, meaning Avos Malachas, is not the Mishkan, then Tosus in one day says that if you have a Malacha Chashuva, even if it wasn't done in the Mishkan, it's already qualifies as an Av Malacha. But the only question I leave you with is that if I accept the counting, the enumeration of how many times it says Malacha in the Torah, and you come up with the number 39, that's Rabbi Yonasan in Shabbos Daf Mem Tes Amid Beis, then that gives you 39 Malachos, then what makes something into a Malach? And the answer is Chashivus. If it's a creative act of significance, whatever that means, but chashivus is now an amorphous concept, but if it has the element of chashivus, that itself might engender the status of a malacha, even though it's not in the Mishkan. Because we never derived, according to Rabbi Yonasan, 39 malachas from Mishkan. Mishkan was not an element. Let's use the hekesh between Mishkan and Shabbos for some other purpose, that it's not docha Shabbos. So I'm just suggesting that on the one hand, I really am strongly advocating that lahalacha we accept Rabbi Chanina, because the equation between Mishkan and Shabbos seems to be the yesoda yesodos of all of Shabbos. It's Malechas Machshevos, which now we're extending to include according to Unkelus, and Rashi seems to indicate that in the Sugya in Beitzah, that if it's not a Malechas Uman, that's not called the Malechas Machshevos. Where's Malechas Machshevos? In Mishkan. But on the other hand, there is a day apparently in Tosfos that you could have an Av Malach, which is listed in the 39, and it's not in the Mishkan. And what gives it the status of an Av Malach? It's Chashivus. And that would indicate that the concept of Malacha is independent and not dependent upon Mishkan. But then, although I'm excited about that, and it opens up some vistas for us, and we can accept Rabbi Yonasan, but what about Malachas Machshevos? You know, I'm desperate about clinging on, you know, holding on to Malachas Machshevos. And if I don't have Mishkan to generate Malacha, but Malacha is a concept that's totally independent of Mishkan because of its significance, maybe it's very creative and it could have a tremendous impact on the world, that's wonderful, and I can actually applaud that might be a Malacha. But on the other hand, what then becomes the source for Malechus Machshevos, especially in the light of the last category, namely that Malechus Machshevos requires a Malechus Umna? Okay, Rabosa, we'll stop here. I wish everyone a great Shabbos, and we should all observe the Shabbos.
Are you learning Shabbos four times a week now? Or?
Not yet. I have to finish still, up on Nida. Okay, you know. Okay,
right. Do you have the Mar Makamas for Sunday, by any chance?
No, but if you send me an email, I'll work on it. You know.
We have Minkara.
Yeah.
How can you define Fira by turning it, by trying it out of it? Then you're just making it a Malacha of Kshira. I don't understand.
Excellent question. Excellent question. If he's tying those two knots, why does it become Malacha's kosher? Maybe it's tying for both. For both kosher and tofer. I don't know. But Kshira now becomes a precondition in Malacha's tofer. And you're asking, Mitch, how could we ever have Malacha's tofer without kosher?
Maybe you don't need a double knot.
Good.
Okay, that's an interesting thing. Maybe there are other conditions of Malachas Kosher which don't apply to Tofer.
Not a problem.
I don't know. You know, we're just, this is just the beginning. This is a year's project, you know. What time is it, Rabosa?
1:19. Yeah, 7.
Okay. Let me...